Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Liz Wiseman is a researcher, executive advisor, and speaker who teaches leaders around the world. She's a former executive and author of the best-selling books, Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter, and The Multiplier Effect, Tapping the Genius Inside Our Schools. Liz has been listed on the Thinkers 50 ranking and named as one of the top 10 leadership thinkers in the world. And we're thrilled to have her actually in the studio with us. Liz, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave. Happy to be here.
All right, the new book, Rookie Smarts, Why Learning Beats Knowing in the New Game of Work. I love the concept of this book, and I think it's really cool. And I've had actually other interviews, even going back 2 years, 3 years, where this type of concept has come up in the past. Share with us, just really briefly, what's the premise of Rookie Smarts?
Well, the book explores the value of being inexperienced and really the power of not knowing. And is it possible that not knowing how to do something is actually more valuable right now than knowing how to do it? And really the backdrop for this is what's going on in our work environment, where we face this deluge of information. More information, more people have access to that information, which means cycles spin faster. We all feel that. We all know that. But the information, that knowledge, is also becoming obsolete faster. You know, much of what we know doesn't stay true for very long. And so many of us are now facing problems that we've never seen before, and often not facing the same problem twice. And in this environment, it's not what you know, it's how fast you can learn. And given the current work environment of constant change, the critical skill is learning, not knowing. And the book explores the many ways that knowledge actually gets in our way, where experience creates blind spots.
Right.
And the value of being inexperienced, and why? What is it that inexperienced people do?
Right.
And why is that important right now?
Now, forgive me, but this almost sounds like a setup for a rather long, nerdy type of joke. But, you know, a backpacker, a hunter-gatherer, and a firewalker.
All walk into a bar.
Walk into a bar. You know, okay, forgive me for that. If you don't mind, just spend a little bit of time and, first of all, explain how you came to these four archetypes. And give us a little bit of a rundown about who they are and why is that important.
Yeah, so here's what I studied, Dave. I looked with this question of when does what we know get in the way of what we don't know, and when is it more valuable to be inexperienced? I looked at how experienced people, I came to call them, I referred to them as veterans in the book, you know, people who have done something a time or two. How do experienced people approach a piece of work, and how do inexperienced people approach it? So I asked managers to identify a piece of work, like write a proposal, debug a software program. One of the more complex was manage the build out of a corporate campus, comparing how a veteran versus a rookie approaches that, looking at their behaviors, looking at their mindsets, and also asking the managers to evaluate performance. We looked at over 400 scenarios, and I found that experienced and inexperienced people approach work in very different ways, and the top performers approach it in very, very different ways. And this way of working, when we are aware that we're new to something important and hard, is something I came to call rookie smarts. And as I looked at how these top performing rookies operate, I found four very distinct patterns. These archetypes, if you will. The first is they operate like backpackers, unencumbered by knowledge, by assumptions, unencumbered by resources. So they willingly embark. It's kind of like we begin something often because we think, how hard can this be? You know, because we don't know enough to know that it's hard and we should be afraid of it.
It doesn't prevent them from just starting.
Yeah, and so they start. And then the starting is important because once we start something and we get far enough out on a frontier, we really have no choice but to cross. Mm-hmm. And so they willingly embark. And then we move into what I call a hunter-gatherer mode. You know, often we think of newcomers as bringing fresh ideas. What I found in the research is it's actually quite the opposite. The value of newcomers is that they typically bring no ideas. And what happens when you don't know how to do something, you start to reach out and you are seeking out other people, other experts. We found that when we're inexperienced, we tend to bring in five times the level of expertise because we're reaching out to so many experts, learning from them quickly, and then mobilizing that expertise against a problem. You know, so one way to look at this is if you hire someone experienced to do a job, you get one person's expertise. But if you hire someone inexperienced, you know, perhaps with years of professional experience, but just inexperienced at that task, you can get five times or more the level of expertise on that problem. So they're hunter-gatherers, but kind of lacking the resources they need. They go out and they search and they bring that back to bear. The third area is they operate like what I call firewalkers. And I found something interesting in the data. They operate very cautiously. You know, newcomers and rookies aren't really big risk takers. They're gauging the environment. They're trying to figure out, where do I stand? And so they operate cautiously, very similar to the agile and the lean movements that have been popular lately, where they operate in thin slices.
Right. They test. They test those slices.
They walk kind of the way you would in a hotel room when you wake up in the middle of the night and you don't know where you are and you've got to find the bathroom.
Right.
Little cautious steps, but we find that they tend to move very, very fast because they realize they've got no points on the board.
Yeah.
And so they've got to score some points. And so they go for kind of quick wins, and it's very agile, lean way. I call it firewalker because it's very similar to how the coal walkers, you know, they're cautious, but man, they move fast so they don't get burned.
Right.
And then lastly, they operate like pioneers, kind of with this hungry, scrappy way of working out on the frontier. They focus on the basics, they improvise, and they get the core job done. And we find that not only do they operate in a very unique way, a way that's very well suited for this current work environment, but they tend to outperform people with experience when it comes to knowledge work, innovation, and speed.
This isn't just about technology, is it?
Well, you know, I don't think so. I come from the technology industry, so it's certainly my bias, and I've seen this dynamic, but the technology industry, you know, has infiltrated every industry.
It's become a part of life.
It's hard to find an industry that isn't affected by tech. But, you know, if you work in STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, you know, medicine, biology, you look at the rate at which information is increasing and the rate at which it's becoming obsolete. I put those two stats together and I found that 15% of what you know today will be relevant in 5 years.
Exactly.
And I don't think it's just limited to STEM. Now, there may be other industries where maybe you're holding on to a little bit more than 15%, but let's be conservative and call it 50%.
Right.
You know, if half of what you know today is going to be irrelevant, passé.
Sure.
Are you learning at the speed at which the world is changing?
Yeah. It's interesting. I had an interview with one of my personal heroes about a year and a half, 2 years ago, Kevin Kelly, the founding editor of Wired Magazine, and he's written a couple of books and whatnot. He did a column or an article for the New York Times Magazine, again, about 2 years ago, in which he sort of encapsulated his experience with homeschooling his son. And it was at a point where they were finishing homeschooling him, and he was going to enter some technical high school to learn programming. It was kind of like reviewing it, but then at the end, he gave his son some advice, and he shared it with the world. And it's this: you will never be an expert again going forward. You will always be a perpetual novice, you know? And things are going to be changing so quickly. You have to basically get better at learning faster and learning all the time. It's like there is no done. It just keeps going.
Yeah, and I think that's really well said. There is no done. And I think the point of this book is that we need to embrace this rookie zone, the zone of not knowing, of where we're novices, because we're going to find ourselves either in that zone a lot or probably irrelevant. Or maybe there's a third option of doing one of the 10 jobs left in the world where, you know, what you knew coming out of high school or college or early in your career is going to last you a long time.
Is there a place for wisdom in this brave new world?
You know, is there a place for wisdom? I sure hope so, because I feel like I've earned a little bit of it. You know, I think one of the ways to misinterpret this book would be to say, oh, we need more rookies. We need young people. It's not about being young at all. It's about being young of thought, young of mind, and learning how to combine and really aspiring to be this perpetual rookie, similar to your friend's advice to his son about being this perpetual novice. And the perpetual rookie, it's not that they stay forever in this state of like naive cluelessness.
Right.
And, you know, because that would be fairly annoying, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's that they know when it's time to use their hard-won wisdom that has come from experience. But they can see the situations that require approaching something as a novice or actually being a novice and pushing themselves out into this rookie territory. It's the ability to toggle between these states of knowing and not knowing and being able to do this seamlessly in a given day, in a given meeting.
Now, you did an awful lot of research for the book. Were you surprised by any of the outcomes or the results of that research? Anything catch off guard?
Oh, there's always things that catch me off guard. Just in general, I went back and looked at my set of hypotheses. I listed about 10 hypotheses before I started the research. And I went back kind of with this hope of, oh, you know, hopefully I've nailed a few of these. I think I was batting about 500 is about some of the things that I was just
That'll get you
sure,
into the Hall of Fame, by the way.
I guess it would. You know, I don't know if there's a Researchers Hall of Fame, but I was just sure that I understood certain things, and about half of what I thought would be true was true. I was surprised at how alert rookies are. You know, they're not these clueless, bumbling clods. Actually, they have much higher degrees of awareness and political savvy than I thought. I was surprised at how fast they work. I assumed that they would be slow, but in the long run, I thought that they would be bigger and bolder with bigger ideas, and actually it's not the case. They're risk mitigators, not risk takers.
Okay, so let's say I want to be a rookie, but I'm an old dog.
Just for argument's sake.
Let's just say, not me personally. It occurs to me that some people might see it as a risky venture to actually undergo what some people might call unlearning or letting go of stuff you have a great deal of comfort and facility with. Obviously, you have to grow up and face that type of fear, but that's rather large emotional commitment, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it is scary. And I think the things that I've learned, you know, if I could string together three things I've learned in this process, it would be one, the rookie zone, taking a rookie assignment, being brand new to something, tackling something you don't know how to do, is scary. It's really scary for people. So it's not to be dealt with lightly. Most of us don't like that feeling of awkwardness, like we don't know what we're doing and it's awkward and it's hard. It's kind of reminiscent of middle school. Like how many of us say, oh, I'd love to go back to middle school.
Please.
To the awkward, dorky years.
Yeah.
It's hard and it's scary. But here's the second thing I found. This zone of incompetence is actually where we do our best work. Because something kicks in, that anxiety of it's hard,
it's
difficult.
Like rocket fuel. Yeah.
It becomes rocket fuel for our brains. Yeah. And so we are hungry. We seek out others. We build networks and we work fast and we deliver in really big ways. It's where we do our best work. Mm-hmm. That didn't surprise me in the research. I think the thing that surprised me the most, particularly given how terrifying it can be for some people to say, hey, I'm going to take a job I'm not qualified for. It's their happy space. I find as I ask people to think back to when they were a rookie, and you might be thinking back to when you were doing something important and hard for the very first time and what you did, how you approached it. And when I ask people to spend a few minutes reflecting on that, almost always people come out of that and go, wow, it was awkward and hard and frustrating, but I loved it. I want to be a rookie again. How do I regain that feeling? It's where we do our best work, and it's also where we experience our greatest work satisfaction and our greatest joy. One of the things we did in the research was we served about 1,000 people. And of a number of things we asked them was, how much challenge do you feel in your job? How challenged are you? And we asked them, how satisfied do you feel? We found almost a perfect linear correlation between the two, meaning as the degree of challenge goes up, degree of satisfaction goes up. As degree of challenge goes down, our job satisfaction goes down. It's almost perfectly linear. So for me, I think one of the messages to managers, there's a lot of messages to managers in there, like use your rookie talent, keep your entire team in the rookie zone. But if there's a no-brainer in here for managers is if you want to boost up your employee satisfaction ratings, a lot of companies are measuring managers on that, feed your team a steady diet of challenge. Ask them to do harder work. It's actually what's going to drive satisfaction up, not down. A lot of times we think it's the reverse, like, oh no, people, if they feel burdened, satisfaction will go down. It's the exact opposite.
Right.
We love challenge. We eat it for lunch.
My last question is, a book like Rookie Smarts, on the face of it, seems to appeal to individuals. What about teams or even organizations? Can an argument be made for that? Is it a cultural thing or what? Can you share your thoughts on that?
I do think there are organizations that operate with rookie smarts. And this is one of the things that led me to do this book, was not just for individuals, but I do live kind of in the heart of Silicon Valley. And there's always a hot company, a hot employer, the place everyone wants to go and work. But it's almost like you can kind of set your watch, you know, okay, 18 months from now, put a little note in your calendar, check to see how hot they are. And there's a lot of companies that go from white hot to sort of stone cold, because as they grow, they get calcified, they start to get set, and they've lost that sense of jumping out of an airplane exhilaration that comes when a company is young. And one of the things that drove me in this research, is it possible for a company to stay vibrant and young and to continue to have a culture of innovation and to operate with the speed and the drive and the hunger of a challenger? And I do think it's possible. And I think there's a number of companies that are doing that. One that I've been watching is Google. So hot for a time. And then you wonder, well, wait a minute, as they get big, can they retain this? Mm-hmm. And they've been very, very purposeful about who they hire and how they build their teams and how they manage their talent to keep that learning agility across the entire organization.
We've been speaking to Liz Wiseman. She's author of a great new book entitled Rookie Smarts, Why Learning Beats Knowing in the New Game of Work. Liz, awesome. Thanks for being here.
Dave, thanks for the conversation.
AMA webinars provide 90 minutes of focused how-to instruction and specific solutions for solving your most pressing work issues. For $149, you'll participate in an in-depth course taught by an expert who will answer your questions and guide you through the process a step at a time. For a complete schedule of upcoming AMA webinars, visit our events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.